Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Take Two Radio. This is Pam, your host, and tonight I have as my co-host Sabina. Hello, Sabina.
Hello.
And happy Valentine's Day to you and to all of our listeners.
Yes, happy Valentine's Day.
Well, you sound thrilled. Okay.
She didn't get her Valentine yet.
What a lively team you girls are. Come on, let's get with it. It's Valentine's Day.
Well, as you can tell, we have our super couple on the phone, both in real life and on Days of Our Lives, Bill and Susan Hayes, and welcome you two.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's delightful to be here on Valentine's Day. Is there some significance, some reason you picked us?
Yes, exactly. You figured that out, huh?
We figured it out. Our romance on television and 39 years of happy marriage stands for something then. Good.
Exactly. We just thought it would be so appropriate to have you on this day, and we are so thrilled that you could be here with us.
Well, thank you. It is appropriate, and every day, of course, is Valentine's Day for us, but today is a special one.
And you got chocolates and flowers, or what did you do?
Well, this morning when I walked into the kitchen to make Billy's breakfast, there was a lovely red heart full of dark chocolate for me, which I was thrilled for. And I went out this afternoon and got Billy a present, which he hasn't received yet. It's still in the back of the car.
Ooh.
then we won't talk about that one. So tell us, was it love at first sight for the two of you?
Well, we have different ideas about that.
Okay.
Susan says yes. And I say I was interested, but I was, you know, there are times when you're ripe and ready and there are times when you're not. And I was in a state right then. I was freshly divorced. I was not looking. And although I appreciate beauty and talent and charm and et cetera, I looked at Susan as a safe buddy because she was engaged to somebody else. And so she was safe to be with, and we did spend a lot of time in our first years there. We spent a lot of time on the phone, running lines. We used to do long, long, long scenes when I started on Days of Our Lives and when Susan started. We used to do long scenes. Now they're very brief, but we used to, you know, you really had to study to memorize them. And we took advantage of the telephone and got to know each other at the same time we were running lines.
That's how he remembers it.
And I fell in love slowly.
I fell in love a little bit faster. Everybody on the show fell in love with Bill. He was a real breath of fresh air. He came from the world of theater and musical comedy. He had all these perks of being a composer of songs as well as a singer of songs. He had a large academic background. He had a great sense of duty to the work, but he was fun to have in the room, and he was beautiful to look at and charming to the ladies and respected by the fellas. What was not to like? So all the girls fell in love with him, but yeah, you couldn't ask for more, and I didn't. I just wanted that one.
But she was engaged at that time.
Well, I wasn't engaged. I'd had a six-year relationship with a newscaster, which meant I devoted myself to watching the 6 o'clock news and the 11 o'clock news 5 days a week, and I was pretty tired of it. And 6 years with no ring also was giving me second thoughts. So.
Yeah.
If you lived in Los Angeles, if you'd lived in Los Angeles, you'd know the guy.
Okay.
And because he was ubiquitous in his time, but he couldn't hold a candle to Bill Hayes.
No.
No.
Well,
definitely
you were just
not.
Meant to be. I mean, you met on Days of Our Lives. They made
right.
a couple on there, and then
right.
it just went from there. You know, you started as friends and as coworkers, and that's one of the best ways to start a relationship.
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Based on friendship, you can't miss.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
right.
you just everything else just becomes icing and more icing.
But right? we've examined our romance when we wrote we lived our romance and got through it and to the happy ending. And then we kind of re-examined it when we wrote our memoir, like Sands Through the Hourglass,
mm-hmm.
Which also showed I was thinking one thing and he was thinking another at different times, which was nice.
Well, that's
We wrote that book in 2005. And then more recently, we've gone into the world of fiction and have written a novel.
You have Trumpet now, a historical novel, and that sounds very interesting. I happened to just see that you had written the joint autobiography, Sands Through the Hourglass, so I haven't read it yet, but I'm definitely going to get both books.
Oh, please do, and I hope you enjoy them both, particularly the novel, because we had such a good time, 7 years of a good time writing it. It's published by a romance house, Decadent Publishing, but it's not a classic romantic novel. It's a historical novel with romantic overtones, and it's all about show business. It's about show business in England in the early 19th century, mind you, but it's all about show business.
Yeah.
And a lot of fun. I just
and
want people to have fun.
It's a different style from our memoir. A memoir,
right.
I wrote for myself, and Susan wrote for herself, was definitely he said, she said. And then when we went to writing Trumpet, we had to decide who was going to narrate this book. And we had to decide on the voice and the style of the person who narrates. And that was different. It was different for us. We had to learn to collaborate on what was going to be the end product.
And
right.
We certainly did. We wound up reading every word of it aloud in front. For the last edit, we sat in front of the computer together and read every word of the book aloud to each other and said, well, that's in. Well, that's repetitious. Well, let's find a more colorful word there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I have to say, we never came to blows.
Oh,
we never
good.
Considered
that's
divorce.
Fantastic.
We enjoyed it.
So is there another one in you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we could go on and do more. But we want to create a demand for Trumpet first.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, after devoting 7 years to something, you'd like to know that a few people read it before you go on to do a sequel.
But the research was fun. We not only read a lot of books, we went places so that we could describe from what we actually saw.
So we traveled all over the world. We were in Egypt. We were in England, Italy, the battlefield of Waterloo, which is also in the book. We really applied ourselves and
wow.
had a good time doing it, but it was a lot of work.
Yeah. But what a way to go.
Right.
You know?
Oh, and the hardest one of all was we had to go to London and do some research. So we wandered around. We had to wander around London, spend that. Well, it was fantastic is what it was. We walked here and we said, okay, well, Lizzie Trumpet lives there and Octavia lives there.
Yeah, picking the streets where things would happen. And we had the great delight, because we were published authors, of going to the theater museum library archive.
Uh-huh.
And getting to walk in and say, well, do you have anything from the Sadler's Wells Theater fall season 1803?
Oh, boy.
Yes.
And they would have it.
And they would have it. And they would bring it up and weigh it and then let us play in the boxes of all these original playbills and original reviews from the newspapers of the time.
Yeah, it was incredible. We went there in the morning figuring we'll spend an hour or two. And they kicked us out at 5:30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
It was just amazing.
I was wondering how long each book took to write.
Well, the first one was Memories, and that one took, it was quick. They gave us a deadline of 5 months, and we did it in 5 months. So that didn't require a lot of research. But in writing Trumpet, we picked 1803 to begin, and a certain period. We wanted to study the people who were there and put their timelines together And so that the things that we describe as actual happenings
are actual happenings.
They really happened on the dates that we say. And
yes, half the book is full of real people and real events.
Yeah.
And that makes it a lot more interesting besides teaching the reader real life events that they may not have learned in school or didn't pay attention to or what, you know, whatever. When you read it in a novel like that, it makes it interesting and then you want to learn more.
Right. And for instance, our heroine starts at age 16. Her name is Elizabeth Trumpet, and she has to find a job. Well, she wants to go into the theater, and she goes to the Sadler's Wells Theater, which at that time was quite low class. And they rehearse a couple of weeks and then open a show. Well, in our book, we describe who was in the show and what the numbers were and the sketches were, and those are the actual people that were there. That we studied it enough so that we know what show it was, when it opened, who was in it, and what the sketches were. It was wonderful.
That is
being actors, we think it was wonderful.
Yeah.
I don't know about the rest of the world.
Oh, yes. Everybody loves show business.
Everybody loves show business. We were in, I think we were in Kentucky, and we were stopping at a mall to pick up something, and a lady recognized us, sort of, and wanted to know what we were in town for. We explained we were doing a book signing, and the book was Trumpet, a historical novel. She said, well, what's it about? And we started to tell her, and she looked not too excited. She said, well, but it's full of historical characters. Napoleon is in it. And she said, Napoleon. Mm-hmm. That's a dessert.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
maybe. I think I've heard of him. And right away I thought, maybe we were just writing this to amuse ourselves. I don't know. She was a nice lady, and the stuff in her shop was very nice, however.
That's unbelievable. How could nobody not know about Napoleon? I mean,
Napoleon Dynamite, that's what they...
Have you had a Napoleon dessert?
No, I haven't.
You've never eaten a Napoleon?
Well, sometimes.
He's waiting for you, darling. He's waiting for you. And he's full of cream and many layers of pastry. You'll be glad.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
So you ask us some questions. We've just been babbling on here.
Oh, no. We love listening to you. Don't even worry about that. But, Susan, you played on Days for, should I say, 6 decades?
Right, a long time. She started in 68.
Yeah, and you're the only actress to do that. I mean, that's phenomenal.
Yes, it is.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah.
It was quite different then. It was just a half-hour show. When we both started on Days, it was just a half-hour show. And they thought that was long. It went in 1975, Days of Our Lives went to an hour, and they thought, wow, we probably won't be able to tell that many stories. What are we going to do?
Right.
It was quite a big change.
I would imagine. And is that when they probably brought more characters on to fill the time?
Yeah,
sure.
Right. Uh-huh.
Well, they have changed writers many times in the history of the show.
Right.
Unlike, for example, The Young and the Restless, which has basically one family writing it for years and years and years and years. But on Days, you've had regime change many times. So
right.
The style of the show has kind of metamorphosed from one thing to another.
Right.
One set of family to another family. One kind of villain to another kind of villain.
When did you start watching Days of Our Lives, Dawn?
This is Pam.
Pam.
I started watching when Marlena was the devil person.
Uh-huh. When she was lifting up in the air. And.
Yeah, and that was creepy to me because I've always had a fright from watching The Exorcist. And to this day, I can't sleep in the dark. I always have to have the light on or the TV on or something.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
It affected me that much. Well, you know, well, I was young then, and and to watch that, and it just stayed with me. And so when I would see Marlena's scene coming up, I would like, okay, I'm going to close my eyes now, but I would kind of peek.
Evidently, yes. Well, evidently, you kept on peeking.
Yeah.
That was a special time. What was going on
I'll tell you what was going on. The reason that we suddenly became a paranormal show, suddenly the devil was a cast member, was because we were in competition with a real life event that had shaken the country. O.J. Simpson's trial was going on.
Yeah.
And in order to keep the audience interested, as compared to being only interested in O.J. Simpson and how all that would turn out, the writer went into the world of extreme fantasy. And there you were. I mean, we've also had pod people.
Right. I remember them.
Yeah, and, you know, we've had people from outer space on the show. That's kind of fun. Nobody can get a hold of their agent, but... I would have to say that the show has really tried everything, though they say that they're basically family-based and it's all about home and family and family and home and family. It's also about violence, sex, and excitement, of course, those things which trigger a fast audience response. And we're always attempting to catch a very young audience, even though that audience may be in school or... may be playing with other machines than a television set these days.
Exactly.
That is still the ideal audience for a soap opera, NBC believes, is a very young audience. They figure if they catch you when you're young, you'll stay faithful for 30 years.
Yes, well, these days that's kind of hard with kids.
When did you start watching? When did I start watching?
Sabina.
No.
When did you start
watching?
I actually started watching in 1990, and the big storyline that I remember was Carly buried alive by Vivian.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
So I've been watching even longer.
I remember that very well myself. That was something.
Well, again, that was in the time of the same writer that gave you Marlena Possessed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But I love Vivian. Evil or not, she was a good actress.
Oh, she was a vivid character, and it was wonderful, the stuff that she pulled.
Yep, and she would get away with it time and time again, just like
Stefano. Right.
Just like Stefano.
Yep.
How many times has Stefano died so far?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea.
Oh, I think after number 9, I lost track.
Oh, I think it's maybe 6. I think.
Well, I always hear that saying, he rises from the ashes, or the phoenix rises from the ashes. And he definitely fits that title.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, you were introduced on Days as a convict who was a lounge singer.
That's true.
That's a storyline there for you. It was perfect.
Well, yes, absolutely. My character was scheduled to be on for 7 months. And he was supposed to have a fling with Sister Marie, the Horton child who was a nun. And he was supposed to really be a bad guy and get her defrocked and then leave the show. And Julie was scheduled to do a different story entirely. It was wonderful. Bill Bell was writing the show at that time. He was the head writer, and he had a practice where he would put two characters together just for fun. And one day he put Julie and Doug together, and we weren't supposed to, have storylines together at all. And he saw something go between Susan and me, or Doug and Julie, and he sat up and said, wow, I'm going to write some more scenes for them. And he ended up throwing out my whole story about Marie.
Uh-huh.
And whatever story he had plotted for Julie, he just threw it out. And that's when he started the Doug and Julie story. And Doug had a black hat and was a bad guy for a while. But I would say maybe within 6 months, he forgot that and put on a white hat, and he became a good guy. And I'm happy about that because I've been on the show a lot longer than this first 7 months that he had planned.
Right? We're very grateful for that.
And Julie, though you don't know her then, was a troubled teen originally and then a troubled young woman who always caused trouble and drew it to her, caused a lot of it, and was an exciting character because of that. Then Julie got to be middle-aged when Hope grew up. Suddenly Julie was middle-aged, and Hope had the same kind of storyline. She was involved with the wrong guy or making the wrong choices or always the center of a lot of excitement. Then Hope became a police officer, and once she was heavily armed, her character changed. Then you have Sammy, same thing, a young girl who doesn't know her place in the world and causes a lot of trouble. However, Sammy has continued way past youth into being the vortex of trouble on the show.
Right.
And it's a type that, depending on your age and depending on your character background on the show, most young women get to play it on Days of Our Lives for a while. And then they straighten up and fly right and become grandmothers.
Yeah, Nicole is probably like that right
and
now.
And Nicole also.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone can exceed Sammy for willful behavior, though.
Yeah. Sammy's always got her finger in somebody's pie, that's for
yes,
sure.
Yes, right.
Yeah, Nicole, we actually spoke with Ari, what day is today? Today's Thursday, right? We spoke with her Tuesday on the show.
Oh, great.
And, she was wonderful to talk with, and we spoke about her storylines with her losing the baby and how hard that was. And I would imagine that you've been through a few storylines that were hard for yourselves.
Oh, yes. Julia's lost a baby. Julia's been raped. Julie's face has been burned up. Julia's gone down in the ship sinking at sea. Julie's been on a desert island.
And poor
sure.
Poor Bill got killed.
And
yes.
Bill got stabbed in the throat and yet resurrected.
Right.
Can you explain that to us? Because we never quite understood it.
Don't know how it happened. It was a good writing, I guess.
I guess.
Bring him back.
Doug originally was not supposed to sing. And then they did a double take because I had a background, as Susan said, in musicals, had done a lot of singing, and they decided to try some music on the show. And it was a fabulous idea because for years, this is before either of you watched, we had music, a lot of music on the show, a lot of songs.
A lot of singers on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Bill was the first person to sing in soap opera. And he could write his own arrangements. And it wasn't Happy Birthday. He did all kinds of music, all kinds of songs. And the show, many shows were built around the nightclub, the performances, people's reaction to the songs, how they would, you know, elaborate on the story like a good love song in a big movie. It was a wonderful time. But it was a time when you could pay a copyright bill for a song that was like $200 or $300.
Mm-hmm,
well, those days are over.
Right.
Now, to get the same song that you got for $200 or $300 will cost up to $20,000.
Oh my gosh!
And that is the reason that we don't have so many songs on the show.
Yeah, can't do it now. Just can't do it. And we used to do several songs, maybe a song a day for a couple of years there. We had that much. And the writers really did a great job of determining the song or the type of song that we were going to do. They would have a plot and what one person, what one character was thinking. That's what the song would say. And they would, I would sing or Robert Clary would sing or
Gloria Loring or Penny Weaver.
And while we were singing, they would go and do a close-up of that character because that's exactly what that character was thinking. And it was very effective. It was very moving.
It was very romantic, mm-hmm. and the whole setting of a nightclub was romantic for the audience as well.
Yeah,
And
well,
yeah, but that was a different time. That was a different time. Now
yeah,
we've got murder and cell phones.
Yeah. I unfortunately missed all of that. I'm hoping they eventually put it on DVD because that would be fantastic. And
wouldn't that be great?
Yes, it would be fantastic. Did you sing on the show, Susan, at all?
Only recently. I sang on the show in the last two or three years with Bill.
Okay,
we got a new set of writers who were under the impression that I sang with Bill. But in fact, no. In the past, I would sit at the table and cry while Bill would sing because I couldn't have him, or it was a time when the characters were separated. But the new writers didn't know that, so they let me sing with him, and I loved it.
Yes,
we have sung together in shows on stage.
Yeah, we've done several musicals
and
together.
And Bill has starred on Broadway and has a gold record and a huge background in commercial music, and he brought a lot of talent to the show.
Was the number one song the Davy Crockett one?
That was it.
I'm looking at my gold record as I speak.
Yeah.
Dusting it off.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah. From what I read, that you had re-released it like three different times in three different versions or something?
No, I don't know about that, but there have been many versions of it. No, mine was cut, and it was an immediate success. It was declared the best record of the year of 1955.
This was before there were Grammy Awards, or he would have had one for sure.
Yeah, right.
Oh, definitely.
Did you see the Grammys the other night?
I watched part of it, but I didn't watch the whole thing. I don't even remember what I was doing that day, to tell you the truth.
No, we got to see the first hour of it. It's a nice show.
It is. We interviewed Louise Goffin, who is Carole King's daughter. She said that her mom was in Australia on tour, but that she was going to get a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Grammys.
Well, she should.
She's
a talented lady.
Definitely. I've loved her music since as far back as I can remember.
Sure.
Yeah, we did some of her songs.
Yeah, we all bought it. We all loved it.
Yeah. Well, I do have one of Bill's songs uploaded to my player here. Would you mind if I played it for the listeners?
I'd love to.
Okay, so you'll have to hang on a second while the song plays. And I uploaded Bella Notte because I do like Italian music and songs in Italian. And plus it's, you know, beautiful night and it's Valentine's, so I thought it would go. So hold on for a moment, and I'm going to go ahead and play that.
All right. Haven't heard this for a while.
This is the night, it's a beautiful night, and we call it Bella Notte. Look at the skies, they have stars in their eyes on this lovely Bella Notte. So take the love of your loved one, you need it about this time, to keep from falling like a star. You make that dizzy climb, for this is the night, and the heavens are right on this lovely Bella Notte. And we call it Bella Notte. On this lovely Bella Notte. So take the love of your loved one, you'll need it about this time, to keep from falling like a star,
Beautiful, wow. Billy.
Oh, boy.
You can hear the accent, too. So.
Oh, Bill speaks some Italian.
Oh, okay. That's why, then.
Yes. We've traveled to Italy quite a few times, and it's our favorite place to be.
It's such a beautiful song. I listened to a few different Italian singers, and that one just caught my eye. And Bill, you did it beautifully. Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. Doug and Julie went to Italy on their honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
Bill and Susan went to Italy on their honeymoon.
Their honeymoon. So it's quite appropriate.
And we keep going back to Italy, even though it isn't our honeymoon.
What's your favorite place in Italy?
Oh, golly. If I only had a few days left to live, I'd want to be in Venice.
Really?
Really.
We've been in Venice several times, and every time it's thrilling. We've been to Rome several times, and every time it's thrilling. I worked in Rome. I worked on a picture called The Cardinal, and I did some shooting there about a week long. And all I saw was traffic and Vespas and a lot of people, and I thought, oh, Rome is just a big city. Who wants to go there?
But then...
How wrong I was.
When we were married, it looked better.
when Susie and I got married, we decided we were going to go to Italy for our honeymoon, and we started to study up on Rome and other cities there. But Rome is so loaded with the beauty and art and history and love of life, and it's just an incredible place. Rome is just... It's so loaded, you can't ever see all of it. It's wonderful. It's not just a big city at all.
Right. Well, I know I've always wanted to go there, but unfortunately I haven't had... Well, I did have one chance one time many years ago. My husband's company used to take the big wigs, you know, on trips and stuff like that.
Right.
They offered us a trip to Italy, 7 days paid in full.
Oh, great.
We had to turn it down because we had 3 babies at home and no babysitters.
So you've been practicing Italian standards all along.
That's about it.
So you stayed home with the family, which was a very Italian thing to do.
Right.
But one day you'll go there and you'll see.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful.
Yes. There's a one singer that I absolutely adore and love, and he's from there, and shows pictures all the time when he visits and talks about Italy when we go see him in concert. And it just, you fall in love with it without even being there.
Sure.
And it's true. And I've never had a bad meal there.
Nope.
The food is wonderful. The people are wonderful. It's just every time it knocks me out.
Now, is their pasta different than American pasta?
Well, somehow it's better.
It's better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's better. Their ice cream is better. Their tomato sauce is always the best you ever had. And then you have it at another meal, and it's better than it was before.
Wow.
The vegetables taste good. The eggs have orange yolks. It's a different standard of food, and it's made with love.
Right.
And people
don't
don't sit down at a meal and say, oh, this is terrible. I'm eating the chocolate. Oh, my God, I'm going to have another piece of butter on the bread. Oh, shame on me. Oh, gosh. Oh, this is terrible. I shouldn't be eating this. And therefore ruining the entire experience by talking about it that way, in a negative way. The Italians just sit there and eat it and enjoy it and don't complain.
And instead of having a 35-minute lunch, they'll have a 3-hour lunch.
Yeah.
And talk and enjoy and just be with each other, you know. It's a totally different concept of life.
Well, I've got to say, I have Italian blood running through my veins, so I've always wanted to go. And I love Italian food, so I definitely need the
And Italian men?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Is that Pam who said this?
Pam from
Chicago?
Yes.
Okay,
Sabina's the one with the Italian blood.
Oh, Sabina's the one with the Italian blood. Okay.
Yes.
Well, you put it on your list as well, Sabina, because it's worth it. It's just...
I've only been
Yeah.
I've only been to London before.
Well, London is easy because you speak the language, and it's it's a great town. Italy will be a bigger cultural experience for you. A wonderful change.
We went the last time we were there. We went to see the Sistine Chapel again, and we just stood like for an hour looking up. It's just.
Yeah, we spent a whole day in the Vatican Museum.
The beauty in the Vatican museums is just unbelievable. In Rome, there's a small museum called the Borghese. It's probably the best museum in the world. You can go through it in an hour or two, and it has such beauty in there. It's just unbelievable. It's so good.
And the history behind all of that, too, means a lot and keeps you going and wanting to see more.
Exactly right.
Well, do you want to talk any more about days? Do you want to talk? We've obviously all done our commercial for going to Italy.
Yeah.
I wish somebody would send us after all these nice things we've said about it.
Yeah. Any listeners out there that are travel agents that want to send us?
Right. The four of us
very
would be
worthwhile
glad to go.
Four very worthwhile people.
Right.
Yeah, and then you guys could be the tour guides because you are definitely well versed.
It's a deal.
They probably have more energy than us, Sabina, that we would clunk out real quick.
Yeah, really. I just want to say you are an amazing, amazing couple. I've always wanted to know how you guys have been able to keep your marriage so wonderful and for this many years. Especially working together so much as well.
Well, I would say one of the key ingredients is courtesy and respect, remembering to show it, and never hesitating to say, I love you, ever, many times a day. No, that's no problem for me. And I try to ask Billy if there's something I can do for him every day, if there's some errand or what can I do for you? Because he has given me stability and joy and warmth throughout, and I want to show warmth back to him. I want to be the woman that doesn't resist a kiss, but the woman who leans forward to get the kiss, that's always hoping for a kiss.
There's one ingredient that started us off right. As I mentioned before, when Susan and I met, I was freshly divorced. I was married before to the mother of my children. It was when we divorced, it was a grave disappointment to me. It was aching. It was pain. It was difficult. Susan said that she had been going with this fellow for 6 years. That's a long time a big chunk of your life, you know, to devote to somebody, and yet she was unsatisfied and disappointed in the fact that it did not progress. Both of us were in a state to move forward in a positive way, and I think we've never forgotten that.
I don't think we've forgotten what it feels like to be unhappy.
Yeah.
And
right.
Consequently, we're anxious to make each other happy. Really anxious to.
Yeah.
And Bill's first wife was not interested in having custody of her children. She moved on to another life completely. And I don't think she ever enjoyed show business very much. She just didn't want Bill, and I can't imagine
right.
Well, how she got to that place, but lucky for me, she did, and she's happy now, and we're very happy now.
And I treasure every day. I am aware every day of what I have, and the love and the enjoyment that we share. I treasure that every day. I mean, I give gratitude and thanks every day of my life for what I have.
Indeed he does. I was raised by a single parent, and my mother would have preferred to have stayed married to my father. My father left. I was a child of World War II, and
he got as soon as he Susan was started in the womb,
conceived.
Her father went overseas and stayed there for 3 years, so he didn't.
His war went on for three years straight, and he came home and didn't want to be married to anybody, which was not something that would be examined as being a psychiatric disability.
Right.
It was just the war had changed him. But when I saw my mother lamenting her lost love all my life, I thought the most important thing in the world would be a happy marriage. The best thing in the world would be a happy marriage. And let me tell you, it is.
It is.
Yeah.
You are very blessed.
I am blessed, and you got to work to make it happen.
And what Susan said about courtesy, I think, is very important.
Yeah.
We are often with other couples, and many of them are discourteous to each other. I don't know. That's a part of their thing, and maybe they enjoy it that way.
Maybe they think it's funny and charming and challenging.
But I don't, and I appreciate the courtesy as a part of it. I think that's a very important thing. It's like belief in somebody. It's a very important to me.
Well, the most important thing is to make a good choice in the first place. But
right.
Now that Bill Hayes is taken, I don't know, girls, what's left for you.
I know. I'm still trying to find my.
Well, never give up. Never give up.
Well, it's hard not to, because I thought I found him, and I am actually now divorced, so it's been difficult. But you two are a very, very fantastic, and I'm hoping that one day I have what you have, for sure.
Well, I hope so too. It is possible.
It can be done, and it can be found a second time. I know Bill loved his first wife, and they had many happy years at first. And he couldn't have imagined that he would ever be married to somebody else.
Right.
But it does happen in America all the time, and ours is just working out real well. Happy Valentine's.
Yeah. That is amazing. And I got to say, you both are amazing. I actually got to meet you in Duluth, Georgia in 2011 in August.
Oh, at the book signing.
Yeah, at the book signing. It was amazing. I really enjoyed meeting you.
That was fun. That was crazy. We went to that city hall, and the law said you can't have more than 100 people in this city hall at any time. So that's why.
Was the reason it was so
in the
congested.
Heat of the sunshine, all those people had to stand out in a long, long line out in the sunshine. They could not come in. And it was
the fire marshal wouldn't let people in, and it was marvelously well attended, and our producer was chagrined and embarrassed and practically in tears that the fans of Days of Our Lives had to suffer that.
Had to stand out in the
that kind of experience
in that bright sunshine
to meet the cast. Yeah,
and he did not expect 2,500 people. He expected maybe 500 people, and here was this huge crowd, when we left, he hid from them. Because we left before the end of the line.
There were still people in line, and we all had to make an airplane.
We had to make a flight, and he said, "You go out the back door, and don't let anybody see me."
Yeah.
That's why we went back a second time.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I can't believe he hid, but I can imagine the uproar of the people that didn't get to see you. So,
you were stood in that line, right?
Yes, I did, but I was closest to the door, so I was able to get in before they closed the line. I don't even know when they did, but Yeah.
Well, we were supposed to be there 3 hours, and we were there like 6 or 7 hours, long time. And then we just they kept saying, you have to leave or you won't make the plane. So we suddenly left.
Well, I think they could probably understand that. You know, it may have been a disappointment, but you did go back again. So probably those people that didn't get in the first time got in the second time.
Yeah.
So
that was actually the second time, because the first time was in Marietta, I had heard. So that was the second time. So
okay, then
really,
that was the second time.
Back like a third and fourth, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know why they took those small venues, you know, where there was no place to sit down. And it was just hard. It was hard on the fans, and we don't want to do that.
Right.
We don't want to abuse the fans.
Yeah.
We want them to have a lovely experience, of course.
Well, Dawn has a message for you. She said she's sorry that she couldn't be here tonight for the interview, but she unfortunately was diagnosed with shingles.
Oh, ow.
Oh,
excruciating.
Painful.
Yeah, so she's on medication, and hopefully, you know, it'll be over soon. And
well, Dawn, if you're listening right now, I'm sorry. Oh,
sympathy.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is listening, so I'm sure she'll appreciate that. She wanted me to let you know. That's why she wasn't here tonight. And Sabina is my co-host as well, and I have another one, David. And actually, David is online, and he wanted to ask you guys a question. Is it okay if I bring him on?
Oh, please let
Absolutely.
David. Let David speak.
Okay, David, speak.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
We're both fantastic.
bubbling along.
You are the quintessential couple, I have to admit.
Thank you.
Set an example.
Thank you, David.
And,
what's your question?
And, my question is, and this is gonna date me. So, what is your fondest memories of Brenda Benet?
Oh, many. You ladies may not have known Brenda Benet. She played Lee along about 1979, 80, 81, along in there. And she was almost indescribably beautiful. Just a fabulously beautiful lady. She had a very difficult part to play. Doug and Julie were married, and then Julie got a bug in her pants.
No. Julie was in an explosion at Maggie's farmhouse.
Yes, that's true.
The oven exploded all over Julie's face, and Julie was scarred. And Julie was afraid to appear in public and was afraid to be seen by Doug. She withdrew from her husband and lived alone and was just miserable. And in that time, Doug's heart didn't wander, but a scheming woman played by Brenda Benet got her teeth into him and got him to marry her. And then, of course, Julie gets over her narcissistic worrying about her face and goes to a plastic surgeon and, of course, is completely transformed back to her old self.
Right.
Actually, they just peeled off the rubber scar and I was fine.
And by that time, Brenda Benet's character, Lee, was pretty bonkers. She was pulling wild deeds and acting very strangely, and she really went crazy towards the end. And there are just so many scenes, David. I don't know. There are just so many along the way.
Well, I have one, and that would be the wedding day of Doug and Julie when Lee showed up, the remarriage of Doug and Julie, when Lee showed up and tried to stop the wedding. And Doug told her what he thought of her conniving and her abuse and locked her in a closet and went off and got married to me again.
Oh, my gosh.
Singing Till There Was You at our second wedding. So that was a pretty great show.
So, David, do you have a favorite scene of Brenda Benet?
I think you named it.
Yeah. I had known Brenda long before she was on the show. She and I had been Deb stars together when I was a fledgling actress and she was a dancer on various shows on ABC. I was on The Young Marrieds on ABC doing soap opera then, and she was dancing in films and on television on variety shows. And we had been close friends. But when she came on the show, I must say I was very jealous that she was getting to do so many scenes with my husband. I had a hard time for a while.
Well,
we had a hard time for a while.
Lee and Doug had bed scenes, you know. It must have been quite difficult because we weren't married that long.
That's true. But Brenda eventually tragically ended her own life, and it was a terrible blow to the show, to all of us.
Aww.
The cast was much closer then. It was a smaller cast, and we all had known her for years by that time, and we were dismayed and disheartened, and it was the big tragedy of, I would say it was the greatest tragedy that Days of Our Lives, real life tragedy, ever faced.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's one thing when McDonald Carey passed and when Francis Reed passed. They'd been with us a long, long time, and we all had had many decades together. But Brenda was cut short at the height of her beauty and her talent, and it was a great loss to everyone.
You know, one scene that always makes me cry every year is the Christmas.
Yeah, same here.
Storyline when everybody puts their ornaments,
their
on the
ornament
tree
on the
with
tree,
the name,
yeah,
and put up the ones that have passed, and that always makes me cry. It's so emotional. That's what it's for.
It's a great idea, you know.
Yeah.
You have a special memory of everyone in your family at that time. It's a great idea. Bill Bell started it, I believe, on the first show that he was the head writer, and it's continued every year since, and it's just been, I love it.
I'm glad they still do it.
Yeah.
There was one moment when there was a new head writer, and they were going to burn the Horton House set. They were going to get rid of it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
But cooler heads prevailed, so we got to have the tree.
That's good.
And those ornaments, they treat those ornaments like the crown jewels. They're put away in a safe so that next year they have exactly the same ornaments with the names done the same way.
And if anybody were ever to break one, I think they'd be off the show forever.
Yeah. Yeah. They watch them, the prop men handle them, and they're standing right there just off camera. You can't see them, but they're there, and they're watching like you're handling the most delicate thing, you know, which they are, of course, very delicate.
Right. Well, you thank those prop men for us for taking
care
of those for so many years.
Yeah, they're important.
I always wondered if you brought new ones on, you know, every couple of years or so, but they always look the same, so I figured, you know, it was the same ones.
Yeah.
They are.
Well,
ours are the
same ones that we've had since the 70s.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I think that
the Tom and Alice ones, I think they were made in the 60s. The show started in 65. I think the tradition probably started along about 66 or 67. Mm-hmm. And so I believe their ornaments are still the original ornaments.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Dina, you had one last question?
Yes, I am very curious, Susan, what it was like working with Billy Burke.
You remember Billy Burke?
Oh, yes.
How do you know Billy Burke?
I remember her from The Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz.
Right, right. Well, in addition to being in The Wizard of Oz and having a very nice film career, she was married to Florence Ziegfeld. Perhaps you've heard of the Ziegfeld Follies?
Yes.
Yes, I have, and I've seen it.
The Ziegfeld Follies were the greatest show on Broadway for decades. And he was one of the great producers of... The Ziegfeld Girl was the first showgirl, the first great idea of a magnificent showgirl. And Florence Ziegfeld married a couple of beautiful women. But the one that he stuck with was Billie Burke, and she was exquisitely beautiful. She had been the daughter of a clown and had grown up in England and spoke with actually quite a British accent. She had been with her husband through the Great Depression, where he lost all of his money, all of his power in show business, and then his health. And she became a movie actress in order to pay off his bills, because he had lived very high. And there were debts that were stupendous, stupendous. And she worked as long as it was necessary to pay off every penny of her husband's debt.
Oh, my God.
When I worked with her, she was in her late 70s, had a hard time learning lines, but that didn't matter. If she got stuck on stage and couldn't remember her lines, she would say something, and something funny, and something that suited her. So it was a great lesson in being a good sport and learning about other periods of time that were very, very significant in show business and having respect for them. Because you could not be around this lady without having respect for the life that she had lived, the people that she had known, and what she was still contributing to entertainment. So I spent maybe 3 years of my childhood, from the time I was 10 to about 12 and a half, in her company, a lot of the time, because we toured together, and we worked together in Phoenix, and we worked together in Palm Springs, and then we did NBC Matinee Theater live television together, doing the play that we had toured in. And I appreciated that sometimes when you get to be an old entertainer, you don't want to give it up. And we're old entertainers now, and we don't want to give it up. We just still love doing it.
And you'll do it as long as you can, right?
As long as they let us.
And I think that keeps you young, and I think it keeps your mind going and gives you better lives.
I agree. To work on a soap is not an easy thing because the lines are memorized, and sometimes you have to poke the words in there. And in addition to acting them, it's a challenging thing. I wish I'd had the experience of working with Billie Burke, because she was, well, she's in our memories always because of The Wizard of Oz.
But you got to work with Bert Lahr, who was the Cowardly Lion, so
yes,
there.
I did.
Awesome.
Yeah, Billy went to, worked in...
Dawson City
with Bert Lahr, and they went out fly fishing together a lot.
Yes.
If you can imagine the Cowardly Lion fly fishing, he liked that a lot.
Yes, I lived upstairs in this little tiny little house. Bert and his wife lived downstairs. We were there playing Foxy all summer in 1962. And he would get out his huge can of fly fishing equipment and holler upstairs at me and take me, show me how he, you know, how he would do it as fly fishing.
Aww.
It was a nice memory.
It is. It's a lot of great memories, and I'm so grateful that you shared them with us.
Yep.
And we're at the top of the hour. It went so fast, but we really, really, really enjoyed this. And I
well, thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Pam.
You're welcome. And maybe somewhere in the near future we can chat again, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, we wouldn't mind at all. We'd enjoy it. And please do read Trumpet.
Yes,
it'll give you a lot of laughs, and I promise you'll have a good time, and it's sexy, too.
I'm going to, and I want you to know that Dawn is going to put both of your books, though, on our website.
Oh,
thank you.
Exposure, and you know, new people will see it, and they'll know where to buy it.
Right.
So, and congratulations on that book. Congratulations on your long-lasting marriage, and I wish you many more together.
Thank you, my dear. Big
Thanks
red hearts and kisses to you both.
Yep. And chocolate
thank
in your
you.
Life.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's.
Happy
bye-bye.
Happy Valentine's.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, what did you think, Sabina?
Oh, they are amazing. I love their stories. I could sit and listen to them for hours.
I could, too. I could too. I definitely could. I mean, I'm trying to think. Oh, like Jeannie Cooper when we had her on, or Eric Braeden. I mean, mm-hmm. the stories just go on and on and on. And some of the things, you know, or people, places, you know
mm-hmm.
who they're talking about or what they're talking about, and some you don't. But the way they describe it, you can picture it so vividly in your mind.
Right.
So how about you,
yeah.
David?
They're,
you're still on here.
Yeah. They're just mesmerizing to listen to.
Well, I look forward to having them back again sometime. And that was a good question, as always, David.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I want to thank all of the listeners for joining us tonight, even though it's Valentine's Day. We thank you for joining us and listening to Bill and Susan Hayes. If you haven't picked up their book yet, Trumpet, please do. You can actually go on their website and order it from there, and that's billandsusanhayes.com. Dawn will put it on our website, and we have started a new tab that says authors, and underneath authors we're going to put down all of the books that different stars have written, and you'll be able to click on it and go right to, you know, the website to where you're going to buy it. Most of them, I think, are going to be from Amazon, so we're going to set that up soon when Dawn feels better, and I really hope she does, because I would hate for anybody to go through shingles. I had another friend go through it, and I know it's very painful, very annoying, and everything else. So shout out to Dawn. I know you're listening. Get better soon.
Get better soon, Dawn. I know what it's like. My sister-in-law had it a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Oh, that's sad. I know a friend of mine had it, and it's not fun. But if you'd like to listen to any of the previous interviews that we've done or listen to this one again, it is on our website, which is take2radio.com, and that's the number 2. Follow us on Twitter at take2radio. Dawn, you can follow at DawnTake2Radio. And Sabina and David, my co-hosts as well, you can follow them at take2radiocrew. Give them a shout-out, say hello, show them some love. They do a lot for the show. Even if they're not on every show, they're doing something behind the scenes, and I appreciate it. And let's see, what else? iTunes, it's on iTunes. And we have a Facebook page, so join us there, too. I post a lot of articles that our dear, wonderful friend Michelle, Hotshot Diva 24, on Twitter. She'll tweet them to me, and I'll put them up on the Facebook page. And it's about all the different soaps, and there's some things about music, and it has to do with the, you know, the interviews, too, that we do. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio, and you'll get an email each and every time a show is set up, and you'll be advised ahead of time so you don't miss it. So thank you both for joining me, and everybody have a good night and enjoy the rest of your Valentine's.
Happy
thank
Valentine's
you.
Day, everybody.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. Oh, you know what? Dawn's on the phone, so let's see what she has to say. She's supposed to be resting her butt, and look, she's on the phone.
Oh.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, Dawn.
Hey. I had to call in and just say kudos to you guys. It was great. I actually like listening tonight. So, thank you. You guys did a great job, David. Your question was awesome, and Sabina, of course, I knew you were just going to be awesome because you're such a huge Days fan. So, yes, mm-hmm. I am ailing. I don't know if someone's looking out for me or if I haven't reached that point yet, but I'm not ailing as bad as some people I've heard have this horrible thing. So I'm going to keep holding my breath and saying a prayer or two, hoping that this does not get full blown. But yes, I'm kind of hanging out, listening to you guys tonight. It was great. So kudos to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dawn.
And she's higher than a kite right now when she's talking because she's on meds. No, I'm only kidding.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was kind of, earlier today, I was taking the meds and it was like about to wipe me out. I felt like a zombie. And I was like, well, I know I got to take it. There's no way around it. So what do you
right.
do?
But right.
anyway, so yeah, I'm actually okay right now. I had some pain earlier, but I'm just being really still and trying to be really calm. And just, like I said, tonight was great listening to you guys. So it kind of made my day. Just yeah, and happy Valentine's to everyone, by the way.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's.
Same to you.
All right,
to you.
Well, you guys have a great night. I'll let you go so you can wrap the show, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
Okay. You get some rest.
Get better.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, for real this time, I'm going to say goodnight, everybody, and have a good night. Oh, you know what? Our next show, I guess maybe we should mention that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Our next show is on February 19th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And anybody that's a original Dallas and Knott's Landing fan will know who I'm about to speak about. I am like so superly overexcited to have this guest. We are going to welcome Joan Van Ark. So we
All
hope
right.
that you will join us on February 19th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Miss Joan Van Ark, so we can go back on the memories on that and find out, because I know she's supposed to make an appearance on the New Dallas with Gary, with her husband, Ted Shackelford. So that should
now,
be pretty
neat.
Now,
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Before we close. I hope they bring on Betsy and Bobby.
Oh, they've got to be grown by now. They're
well,
probably, what, in their 30s or something?
No, but how long has it been?
I don't even know. It's been a long time. I mean, I can't even, I don't know. I'd have to see when Knott's Landing went off the air. I know it's been quite some time.
Kids were about, what, 8 then?
Maybe, yeah. I know they were young. And they were twins,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they were twins.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I remembered. The mind still works sometimes here. But we'll talk to Joan, and we'll talk about that, and we'll find out about her new projects and what she's been up to, and watched her on the talk recently with Michelle Lee and Donna Mills, and it was so much fun watching them together. So, if that's it, I guess we will sign off for this night. We'll see you again then.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Yes. See you soon, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to tonight's show. You can connect with Take Two Radio on Twitter at Take Two Radio and at Dawn Take Two Radio. You can also look us up on Facebook at Take Two Radio. Check out our website at take2radio.com. And follow us on Blog Talk so you can stay up to the minute of each episode as we add it. Each episode is always available for download immediately following each broadcast. And you can also download every podcast on iTunes. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop, baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com.